You are now listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans, with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart.
We're here again for another week with the Soul Trader podcast.
Woohoo!
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right, actually. I'm sort of just adjusting the microphone here so I'm not sounding too boomy. But then again, I think you're always louder than me.
That's because I sit closer to the microphone.
Oh, right.
I love this microphone. I'm just more friendly with my microphone than
you're
you
You're more friendly with your
well,
mic.
I just, you know, I mean, if you're closer, you're clearer, you know, you're not going to get any, yeah, you're going to get a nice strong signal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So you just need to...
I should get closer then.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yes.
You don't have to get deep and creepy at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Speaking about creepy.
Right.
Today, well, we're recording today, which is Tuesday, February the 14th.
It's good thing we're recording today. Good thing I pressed the button.
That's right. Exactly. It's Valentine's Day. But, of course, when this podcast gets released, it'll be 3 days after Valentine's Day. But I thought today...
The glow will have worn off by then.
Yeah. That's right.
But divorce lawyers will be back in business, you know.
Yeah.
All the glow will be gone.
That's right. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, you could use this podcast to rekindle that love energy that you would have, you know, tried to maintain from Valentine's Day to the Friday after by, you know, sort of us talking about our five top love songs.
I was thinking if we had some
that we
nice
haven't like, written ourselves.
Some nice funky like background music to get jiggy with it over the weekend while you're listening to our dulcet tones. Imagine that. You're out there and you're a Soul Trader podcast fan, there's nobody doing it to the Soul Trader podcast. Honey, what should we have on in the background? Some romantic music? No, let's chuck on Corey and Simon talking shit for an hour.
Wife says,
an hour? Really? It's going to last that long, is it? Just put on a Beatles track. 2 minutes. That's all we need. What music would you like? You mean what song?
I think that would be... That would be a life goal realized if you know we had a child conceived through people listening to our little podcast. You know, we're doing our bit to populating the world by talking shit.
If we're having that effect on people, I imagine what our music what effect our music would have if us talking crap has it. Anyway,
Oh, dear. No,
well, whatever you're doing while you're listening to the Soul Trader podcast, you can have that image in your head. But thank you for listening.
You can't unsee.
We should say, and what we should say, because I listen to other podcasts and, you know, kind of hear the things that people are saying. If you're listening on one of the popular streaming platforms, it's like, you know, and you enjoy this episode, maybe this is your first episode and you're thinking, I wish they would actually get on with it. But, you know, if you're enjoying the episode and you're listening, subscribe on your streaming platform, because that actually shows up in the stats as to what episode people are subscribing on.
Yeah,
so it kind of gives us an indication.
Good idea.
It gives us an indication of what people are enjoying, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps us grow our numbers and you see our podcast every week. And
at the very least, it makes us feel better about ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we pin us, you know. Self-esteem on podcast numbers.
Yeah, like we save money on counselling and stuff and, you know.
Actually.
This is like a counselling session.
Exactly. We're counselling each other. Cancelling each other rather than counselling. Hey, what is the podcast being bought to or bought by today? What song?
Oh, what song?
We haven't done that in the last couple of episodes.
No,
podcast is brought to you by.
I can't remember
the
which one's
69
done.
And the letter L.
I can't remember I can't remember which ones we've done, but because it's this episode, I guess, Want to Be the One?
Oh, yeah.
Want to Be the One's got to be the one.
Yeah.
So sung by Mr. Corey Stewart. So, yeah. And if you've been to gig, you might have also heard me sing it because I started singing it when Corey wasn't around, and so I still do that song. But, yeah, go and check it out. I will put a link on the Buzzsprout
podcast. I want to be the one to turn your wrongs into right.
Yeah.
Want to be the one that tucks you in at night.
See,
et cetera, et cetera.
And that's a good segue into what we're talking about is favourite love songs, which admittedly we chatted about it maybe very briefly. Just we have an app that we kind of post things on back and forth to each other, and we chatted about it very briefly on there, and I didn't give it a second thought after that because I wasn't sure what we were doing. I completely mental blanked on it, and so I've just kind of jotted down some thoughts of, you know, I guess songs. But
I think the best lists are made when it's just like off the top of your head rather than labouring too much about it.
Yeah, and looking at, I mean, I just kind of looked through my phones at people that I'm listening to regularly. I think, I mean, Wanna Be the One is a bloody banger of a song. So go and listen to it on, Spotify, or go and buy it on Bandcamp. So the link on the Buzzsprout page will take you to Bandcamp where you can listen to it and purchase it. But, chuck it on your liked songs list on Spotify or wherever you like to listen. And
stick it in a mixtape for your favourite significant other.
Exactly.
Oh, that's actually assuming you've got more than one significant other. But, put it on your, I Want You mixtape.
But it's a great track. I love that song. I like singing it. Like, I like the lyrics. It's one of those songs where, I like words that conjure images.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about that recently, actually.
Yeah, I'm particularly proud of that.
Like, tune. I like a lyric that I don't have to listen to the whole. I want images in my head when I hear words. I want to hear a line and kind of it paints a picture. I'm seeing something. Somebody's, literally painting a picture with a song.
Yeah.
And sometimes lyrics are kind of abstract to the point where you're going, "What the bloody hell are they talking about?" And you're not actually getting a picture. So it's when those words kind of conjure images that it's, it works for me, I guess. But let's get on with talking about other people's songs. What's first cab off the rank for yourself?
First cab off the rank. Well,
you've got a bit of a list on your phone.
I've got a list here. It's not necessarily in order, but I suppose the number one song that I would want to put forward is one of my top five is This Guy's in Love by Burt Bacharach.
Okay.
Burt
Bacharach just reminds me of Monty Python. It's just like,
well, he died unfortunately very, very recently.
I was going to say he did, didn't he?
Yeah, at the age of 94, which is a great innings.
Jesus, that's pretty good, isn't it?
along with lyricist Howe David, probably wrote some of the greatest sort of pop tunes imaginable. And also too, they put songs together which, were sort of pop standards at the time, but at the same time they were experimenting with different time signatures and different instrumentation and this and that and the other. So they really mixed it up. And his long-term sort of musical relationship with Dionne Warwick was also beautiful as well. But, This Guy's in Love. I mean, I could have picked any, Burt Bacharach tune, but that one, just has such a beautiful melody, and I think Herb Alpert does the brass in that, and I like melancholy sort of love songs, not sort of that real happy saccharine stuff, but that sort of longing, longing, really emotional, heart tugging stuff, and that always does it for me. So
I was going to ask what you kind of you know, base criteria is for, well, love songs, and that probably sums it up, I guess. I mean,
And for me, a good love song could be an unrequited love song, or it could be love song from afar, rather than, you know, you love me, I love you, la 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 la. You know, I mean,
you're telling me you don't like Love Me Do.
Love Me Do.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah, Love Me Do is a great song, but
it's not emotionally charging.
No, no. I was going to say it's brilliant in its simplicity, its catchiness, and it's the fact that of when it was.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If you wrote
a product of its time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and obviously you, I mean, we've had discussions before about songs in general in terms of when you're listening to a song, and I guess everybody out there kind of listening to this podcast is probably, you know, has their own way of, you know, if you ask them to kind of like, what do you listen to? What appeals to you about a song? And I think you've kind of said, you know, often you're drawn to the music, the arrangement or what's in there musically.
Yeah.
Whereas I would probably say that I'm in there, what's the story? What are the lyrics telling? That's what I was kind of talking about, the painting the picture.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of, you know, I mean, the music's got to be good, but it's the storytelling that's kind of key, if that makes sense. And
yeah, I think when we were talking about that in the earlier season, you know, so I gravitate towards the music more, only because that's, you know, where I was introduced. You know, I came into sort of songwriting from, you know, a musician's point of view rather than the lyrical point of view. But the lyrical appreciation is fast catching up, especially with putting music to other people's lyrics, which, you know, I like to do. And, you know, you've got to have some sort of element of what the lyric is saying and the singability aspect of it to conjure up a melody and an arrangement to wrap around it. So that's been really good. But yeah, I think you'll find that the music on or the songs on the list that I'll be discussing will, you know, very, very music heavy, and then the lyrics come afterwards. It's like emotionality for me is, I, you know, musical motifs emote, you know, really hit the emotional feels for me first.
Yep.
And then the lyrics generally come afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that it's probably the other way around with yourself, but not exclusively. But
no, I mean, obviously obviously the music and the tone and the melody and all those kind of things play a part. But you know, I mean, I guess for me it's probably lyrics and melody, you know, and the music's, you know, probably after that, in the sense that, I mean, it kind of comes down to the fact that, you know, I always kind of go, you know, a good song can be played on an acoustic guitar or a single instrument, piano, or, you know, and just the simplicity of what the lyrics and the melody are kind of doing, you know, in conjunction with that. That doesn't mean that there aren't some songs where there's something going on musically where I'm just like, oh, listen to that. Like, that is just... That's it, you know, that's the business.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it kind of it comes down to me being drawn into a story or being able to relate to a story, you know, being able to walk in those kind of shoes, which is, you know, probably how I approach songwriting as well, in the sense that sometimes I'll write something from somebody else's perspective, but I'm putting myself in their shoes, and somebody goes, oh, I mean, I've had people say, that song sounds like it's really kind of close to you, and it's like, actually, it's not. It's because it's somebody else. You know, I'm just in their shoes, so I'm actually imagining what it's like from their perspective.
Yeah,
you know, Charlie's just trying to walk through the. We have a kind of where we record the podcast, like out of. If you watch the videos, you know, out of shot, there's kind of curtains to kind of just cut down any echo, just make the room a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Charlie, the wonder dog. He doesn't walk around. He just tries to walk straight through a black curtain until it kind of gets over his head, and then he just kind of stands with it sitting on his back. It's like, this will do. But anyway.
There will be a picture of Charlie. There have been people that have been saying, oh, what does Charlie look like? So I'll make sure I get a picture of Charlie up.
Oh, yeah. We can do a podcast photograph today with Charlie in the middle.
Absolutely. In saying that, you're talking about your life story and all that. What would be yours that you'd like to start your list on?
Well, this is an interesting one, and I think sometimes it's interesting when you hear songs and you know the story behind them. You know, you've maybe seen the artist live and they've explained the story, or you've heard it in some way, and that kind of almost. You know, in terms of me talking about getting drawn into the story, it kind of brings you in even more, you know, and you kind of go, oh, that's what those words are kind of meaning. So my first cab off the rank is Feel Like Kissing You Again by Frances Dunnery, which is – now, this is an interesting kind of right off the bat. I avoiding the – now, that's not to say there aren't some lovey-dovey kind of really corny kind of love songs out there where I kind of go, yeah, I kind of like that. But this one is actually written about his father who had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a different kind of love, obviously.
A love song doesn't have to be for, you know.
No, but I mean a lot of people kind of probably think of love songs as more those corny songs and, you know, or a kind of a romantic kind of partner type song. There's a Frances Dunnery live album where he talks about the song and basically says, I was trying to write a song that explained how I felt, you know, on the day that I went, you know, went back to the UK for his dad's funeral. There's a version on an album where no introduction, and then there's a live version where you're kind of going, oh yeah, okay, this is, you know, it was a nice song and now I'm just really deep in this, you know, in that sense. It's just one of those kind of, I think part of it is it's a son to his dad, but it's a son who's not a kid, you know, it's not a young, or it's not a young man, it's an old man to an old man kind of thing. You know, you've spent a lifetime together. And, it's just a really beautiful song. And I was actually thinking when you were mentioning your first track as well, just thinking about the list is I'm not sure how many links we could put on the podcast page, but we'll maybe post some of these links to these songs across Soul Trader podcast, social media. We'll find some links and share some of these songs. So that way, kind of, if you're listening to the podcast, you have an opportunity to easily kind of find these tracks. That'd kind of be mine. And I think that, as I said, you know, love songs can also be a little bit more broad than those kind of romantic ones. I guess is the other thing as a, you know, as a songwriter, it can be. You know, about more than it can, and it can be more than about people as well. You know, a lost situation, a lost, you know, those kind of things, longing for a time, you know, a place. That's a sense, you know, in a sense, a love song as well. It's just a, you know, That'd be me one. Probably do it all with Frances Dunnery songs, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. What would be the next one? I suppose what I would do, I'm just changing my list around because I actually remembered another tune. And I've replaced one song with another, and I should remember this because this was the outro song for my wedding. It was "Woman" by John Lennon, and I've always loved that tune.
Oh, it's a great song.
Yeah, and it just—I don't know. I think it's just a song in which you know. John Lennon is basically saying, you know, this is me, you know, I love you, and this is who I am, and yeah.
There's a
real innocence to it. It's gorgeous.
It's laid bare in a very simple way. It's not complicated, is it?
Yeah, that's the thing about, you know, Lennon's music is that it's, you know, the later on, you know, you listen to his later stuff, and it's almost like he's rediscovering sort of the reason why he was writing, and he just, you know, discovered this simplicity and this innocence. And
yeah, I mean, he's got songs about his mum and things like that where it's just like it's very visceral, but it's just this kind of very, you know, it's so simple. It's you know, but it's the beauty is in the simplicity of the fact that it's just like, it's not like that, there's not a lot of noise around it. It's just like, yeah, this is kind of what I want to, all I need to say. So,
and you know, I was talking about sort of music really having that effect. I mean, the music in this is great, and you know, I've studied it and played it and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
but but lyrically, it's just wonderful. The sentiments. So, you know, I think because it was John Lennon, you know, it's like you don't have to worry about the music sort of having some sort of effect. But for me, that particular song is one of the rare occasions in which the lyrics hit first and then the music came afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
And because it's just so simple and easy to grasp, I suppose, you know, it's really cool.
And I think the other thing is that, like, you know, although you're kind of talking about often, you know, it is the music. It's the music doesn't always have to be complex to hit the mark that you're talking about. You're just looking for that kind of emotional connection on the music kind of side.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just like, you know, it could be a piano and it's just like, oh.
It's purely a melodic thing.
That chord, oh, and it's so it's not like, you know, it has to be like, I think you mentioned the first song, you might have mentioned, I don't know, a string section or a trumpet section or something you were mentioning.
Yeah.
But, you know, like some songs are going to have those things where it's just like that, you know, that colour in the instrumentation suddenly brings it to life. But sometimes it's so simple that you go, I don't understand, there's nothing there, but it's just tearing me apart kind of thing.
Another really good example of that, and it's not on my list, but it's just come to me is... Falling Slowly by Glenn Hansard and Marta Erlogova, I think her name is, from that movie Once.
Right.
You know, it's just this, you know, at the beginning it's just this guitar motif in C and he's singing over the top. And, I mean, you know, Once is an amazing film and I'd suggest that everyone goes and sees it if they haven't seen it. If they have seen it, see it again. It's a perfect Valentine's Day, you know, indulgence, I suppose. But, you know, that is another example of sort of beautiful melody, simple music and just heartfelt words, you know, and it's not corny either. So,
yeah.
But anyway, that's like, you know, I'll sneak that one in, but that's not part of the five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I constructed my list kind of on the fly, and actually the funny thing is the more we talk they're kind of like, oh, there's that song and there's that song, and you know, keep on other ones kind of keep springing to mind, but I'm going to throw in there a song that it's one of those songs where you kind of just go the song is Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And there's just something about this song that he's, you know, he's taken Shakespeare and he's just turned it into this, you know.
Oh, it's a masterpiece.
This kind of
epic,
casual kind of, you know, romance kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those songs. Again, it's musically, you know, pretty simple, I guess. It's not, there's, but it's just a, a great kind of reinterpretation, I guess, and you know, reimagining of that kind of, you know, that relationship or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just think it's so clever. It's one of those songs where it's just like, you know, I love a lot of Dire Straits stuff. I mean, brilliant songs.
Oh, absolutely.
And that song just springs to mind. It kind of like, oh yeah, you know, like, it's the kind of song I wish I wrote. You know, like there's songs, yeah, where I kind of hear a song and I go, I wish I wrote that.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lyric.
Yeah, there's a lot of that's a podcast episode in itself. But
yeah, yeah. And you just think, you know, and I guess you hope in your life that people hear your songs and go, oh, I wish I wrote that song. That I really like, yeah, that one. And you go, yeah, cool. Yeah. You know, it's a kind of bucket list thing. Somebody says to me, I wish I wrote that song that you wrote. But yeah, it's just a beautiful song, cleverly done, and just beautiful in its simplicity, I think, as well. Yeah. It's no, it's just a really lovely song. It's one of the songs I, you know, never get sick of hearing it. You know, when it comes on, it's just kind of like, yeah. You know.
I just love Mark Knopfler's sort of, you know, really casual delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just his crooning, basically. I mean, he's a monster guitar player, you know, but, you know, in the same realm as, you know, because they play with their fingers, you know, Jeff Beck,
you know,
is in, for rockers, to what Mark Knopfler is to, you know, sort of finger style, sort of more Americana or country sort of sound, you know, from the Chet Atkins school, I think. He's just laconic sort of vocal delivery on that sort of, you know, adds to the casualness of the relationship, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It just,
you know, I don't know, I'm not going to sing it, but cool tune.
Yeah,
very cool tune. Now, so we're talking about, you know, simple stuff, and then there can be love songs that just have really complex arrangements in it as well. And so that leads to number three.
Mm-hmm.
And bear in mind, it's no particular order of preference. It's just number three on the list, and that's God Only Knows by the Beach Boys.
Yep.
You know, I mean, how many fucking chords does bloody, you know, they want to put into that song? But every time I hear that song, I weep.
Yeah.
I just bawl my eyes out.
Yeah.
I'm a sook. But
isn't it amazing though that like there are songs it's hard to know what it is, but it's like it's like there's a switch in your brain, and suddenly if all these notes are played at exactly the same time, or it just like, and
it does.
You know, and I've just thought of another one. That one's going up next because that's just bang on. I mean, you know, and it's just, it transports you somewhere. You don't know where it's transporting you, but it's transporting you somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think we've spoken about it on the podcast before, but it's that thing where I met an artist at a gig and he drew a picture of me. It turns out he was a famous watercolor guy. And didn't even realize, but he drew a sketch of me and we were talking and I just said, I wish I could draw. And I'd love to be able to draw. And he said, I wish I could do what you do. Music is much more important than what I do. And this is a famous guy who's made a career and he's like in his 80s.
Yeah.
And he said, because music can teleport you anywhere.
That's true.
You know, you hear a song from your teenage years and boom, you're back there.
Yep.
It might not even be the song you liked at the time, but it will transport you there.
Yeah.
And obviously, if it's a song you like and it was linked to, you know, some sort of situation, you were hanging out with your mates or, you know, first love or whatever it might have been, boom, you're there. And that's the thing about music. And, you know, like sometimes you get a song where it's just like a moment in life and that song kind of intersected, and then when you hear that song again, you're back there. And sometimes it's just as potent, you know, like it might not be that every single time it's just as potent, but sometimes you hit that moment again where you hear that song and you're in the state of mind, you know, emotional state, and it just overwhelms. And that's the amazing thing about music in general. And it's like you're talking about that song, and it's just like it's triggering something. And, you know, there'll be some times where it hits you harder and sometimes where it hits you less. And it's just amazing that happens. I kind of love that.
Yeah, music and smells do that as well. Smells are very evocative.
Yeah.
You know, especially for me, you know, there's a certain type of perfume that if I smell it, it just transports me back to, you know, my first girlfriend, for instance, you know, because that's all she wore.
Yeah.
Didn't end very well. So it's like,
it's like,
oh God.
I was somebody on the radio said the other day, it's just like 4711 reminds me of my Nana. And it's just like, it reminds me of my Nana.
Yeah.
Like I haven't smelled it in a long time, but if I.
An imperial leather or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that, you know, that's the beauty of music. And I mean, it's
a time machine.
It's a great, you know.
Like, for instance, you know, Iran by Flock of Seagulls, you know, it's just like First Kiss of the Year 7 disco, right? You know, bang, there it is, you know.
Yep.
So every time I hear that, I get transported back to that.
Yeah. There's
it's just like, oh, creepy.
There's I got to think of the name of the song, but I think it's Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden. And this is not a first kiss song.
Right,
this is just a transports you to a moment song. And we were driving to Adelaide so the guy who originally taught me guitar, who was my best friend at high school, and his older brother got us into a lot of music because he used to just buy random tapes. Right. So he discovered like Metallica and Queensryche and all these other bands, and Iron Maiden was one of those bands. And we were driving to Adelaide in his Gemini. I think we may have even been going, maybe, I don't know if we were going to a concert or not, but that song came on and we were all doing there's a tom drum roll.
Yeah.
It's just like, so we were all in the car, like doing that across the dashboard and across the back of the seats. Yeah. And it's just one of those things where it's just like, whenever I hear that song, it's like, I'm there,
good times.
Just coming up to Port Wakefield. I just remember it so distinctly. We were where we were, you know, great times. But
great driving song too.
Oh, you know, you got to have some great
bit of Iron
Maiden. Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
but yeah, you know, it doesn't matter what song it is. It has that ability. So
God Only Knows. That's number three on my list. Just probably one of the most perfectly written tunes and. And it's like you can hear a song that has, you know, many, many parts and many, many chords and it just doesn't sound wanky. You know, Brian Wilson just had that. And the harmonies in it as well, you know.
Oh, yeah, the harmonies.
And it's completely stumped me as to, you know, I tried to play it, you know, tried to pick it off on guitar and it's just like, oh, you know, I can't even be bothered. You know, it's just going to take far too long. But local artist Andy Armstrong actually does a version of God Only Knows. And,
right.
And it's just beautiful. And I saw him play it at one of the open mics that I was running. And, you know, I even cried then. Just, you know, it's just like,
it's like, what's wrong, Corey?
Andy, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. You want Waterworks? Put that on.
Yeah. Well, talking about Waterworks while we're on the topic.
Yeah.
And this wasn't on my list, so I've kind of...
Oh, you've just put this one on.
Yeah. Cool, no, my list is getting edited on the fly.
That's all right. That's good.
And...
it's immediate.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm really like... It's funny, I'm deviating away from the kind of the romantic love thing into kind of like, now bugger that, because that's, you know,
well, I'm kind of... A song can be whatever you want it to
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah. So Fire and Rain by...
Charlie
the Studio Dog.
Charlie. What's going on?
Charlie, shush. Anyway.
It's live.
Yes.
I was waiting for that to happen, actually. Because he's been here for like 3 or 4 episodes, and it's the first time he's actually barked. I'm not going to edit that out. We'll just leave that in there. That's cool. Okay, Fire and Rain, James Taylor.
Two minutes later, it's just like, we're going to have to stop the episode here and start up again. So, I mean, I've always liked this song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great song. But the reason why I added it was that my dad passed away at, towards the end of 2020, not due to COVID or anything like that. Just he was old and he had heart issues. So I can't remember if we've gone into this, but anyway, he was born with a heart defect, had a heart valve replacement when he was young. The only reason that was discovered was my grandfather was an orthopedic surgeon and they were messing around with a stethoscope one day. And he was listening to his heart when he was little and he was like, oh, hang on, that's not right. And he could hear the murmur. So if he hadn't been an orthopedic surgeon, hadn't have done that.
Well, your dad probably would have passed away sooner.
I wouldn't have been here. I mean, he was never meant to live past 30 even after the operation. He went to the Mayo Clinic. He was one of the first people to have the operation in the Mayo Clinic. I think he was the first kid to have the operation. Longest person... outlived the surgeon, longest person to live with after having the operation. Had another operation later in life. But, yeah, basically, anyway, there was just long kind of story short. Anyway, he obviously had heart issues. My relationship with my dad wasn't bad, but because of his choice of partner, I hadn't seen him. For 6 months before he died. He didn't live close to me. He lived a couple of hours away. And he rang me, or I rang him. One of us rang. He went into hospital a while before he passed away and, you know, was in there for a little while. And we spoke on the phone and things like that a few times. And then I was actually going to visit him when I was up in the Riverland playing a gig. I was going to go to the hospital, but he had gone back home and I didn't want to deal with his other half. And so I didn't go and see him. And then a couple of weeks later, he passed away. Mm-hmm. He passed away in a chair at the surgery where he used to work in the waiting room. So he actually drove down there because his chest was feeling a bit funny. And then sitting in the waiting room, effectively surrounded by people he'd worked with for many years and, you know, anyway, just quietly passed away. Heart stopped, basically. But after that had happened, I had to go there and help prepare a kind of memorial service.
Right.
And so I went and obviously dealt with my stepmother who, you know, whatever. But we're going through old photographs, so I was going to put together a video presentation of photographs and songs and stuff. So I was getting kind of CDs of music and songs my dad liked and songs that he'd performed and things like that. And then I had a 2-hour drive home from Wakery in the Riverland to Adelaide. And I had a playlist on, you know, that I just constructed on Spotify. And Fire and Rain came on.
All right.
And it's just like...
great song.
You know, there's the line. When my dad did pass away, my brother rang me up, and my brother doesn't ring me up all that often. Probably he's picking up the phone more now than when my dad was alive. But he rang me out of the blue. He normally rings me if I ring him, basically. And I basically was like, as soon as I answered the phone, I thought, well, something's not good. And he goes, are you sitting down? And I was out for a walk. So I just kind of sat in the footpath and I was like, I know what's happened. You know, basically that song, the lyrics are, just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. And the chorus, obviously, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days I thought would never end. But I always thought that I'd see you again. And I didn't see him for 6 months. So basically that song came on just after I left Wakery on this playlist, and I basically the waterworks started, and I just kept listening to it on loop. Basically, I couldn't stop listening to it because I had to kind of get it out, and I hadn't had got it out.
Yeah.
And basically, it only kind of ended, you know, literally when I was getting close to home. So, you know, probably an hour and a half, 2 hours of listening to that song over and over again.
I could think of worse songs to listen over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and the funny thing is, it's still on my playlist. It still comes on, and occasionally, what reminded me was you were talking about getting triggered and by a song and a note and a thing, and it still triggers me. And often I'm driving those same sorts of roads or the same roads, the same places.
Mm-hmm.
And that song will kind of come on because it's do a lot of gigs in the Riverland, so I'm sometimes driving those same roads. So it's same place, same song, and you're brought back to that. And
yeah, so there's a lot of connections.
Yeah, yeah.
With the area
shit. If I could write a song like that, I'd like the royalties as well. But it's just again a cracking song.
It is. Absolutely.
So what are we up to?
This is number four.
Number four.
Number four. Now, this is a song that, it's an instrumental. There's no words in it at all. Well, technically there is, I suppose. It's a song called Moments in Love by Art of Noise.
I don't know if I know that song.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I've just always had an affinity with instrumentals, of course, because, you know, music hits me first, and this really does it for me. So Art of Noise, you know, they're known for, a collaboration with Tom Jones with his version of Kiss.
Oh, yeah, yep.
They did something with Max Headroom, and the song was called Paranoia. There's a number of other earlier stuff that you probably wouldn't know the name of, but if you heard it, you go, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. And I think Trevor Horn, who's one of my all-time favourite producers, was sort of produced the Art of Noise. Anne Dudley, I think, is one of the main people who operates. I think they're a duo or a trio that it's just, you know, just like basically put a couple of Fairlight synthesizers together, and it's just all these samples and stuff like that. And it's mostly, you know, it's mostly very angular and very twee, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, it's all very clever, clever, clever. And then out of all of that, this song called Moments in Love comes out, and it's just fucking staggeringly beautiful. And it's like, it's amazing how a piece of music can come out of, a whole bank of synthesizers and Fairlight samplers, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just gobsmackingly beautiful. And, it's I would imagine it would be great music to do the horizontal folk dance to. But it's just, you know, you can look at it as crudely like that, or you can just look at it as it's just a really beautiful piece of music. And there's been a number of remixes of this particular tune. It's a very long piece,
yeah.
And one of the remixes, which is my favourite, which is the version that we'll have a link to, is a shorter, more condensed version.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to put that on. Every night before I went to bed, because it would just get me in the right frame of mind to just, you know, go to the land of Nod in, you know, when I was younger.
Yeah.
But gorgeous piece of music, and it just drips love, and there's no words.
Yeah.
In it. So,
yeah,
it's just an example of how music can, you know, you make the words up in your head by listening to the music.
Yeah.
If there are any words to make up, you know.
So I was just thinking that, so we'll link these on our social media. Like we'll do a post, and or a model will post, and we'll link these songs. as always, feel free to engage with us on there, and feel free to, you know, on the podcast episode post or whatever, you know, feel free to post some of your songs, but also, you know, if you haven't heard these songs that we're talking about and you go and give them a listen, feel free to come back and comment on social media and, you know, what you think.
Yeah.
If they, you know, resonate for you, or whether you think they're a load of shit, or, you know, like, I hate that song, or it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, just, you know, feel free to engage. It's always nice to kind of get some of that kind of engagement going.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and that song I haven't heard. I don't think I've heard. I mean, there's every possibility that I have. I've heard a lot of songs where I don't kind of remember the name, but I look forward to listening to that one. So I may even comment myself. I mean, I've got – the funny thing is I had songs on here and I've kind of I've deviated a little bit, and I've got another one I think I definitely have to include. But
you can put honourable mentions in there as well. You know, we'll quickly go through honourable mentions.
Exactly. I'm going to go for some that I think of. You know, some of them are newer ones, but they're also ones that have just like, oh yeah, that's, you know. So there's a song called by Ryan McMullen, who is a Irish singer songwriter. Met him in 2019.
All right.
When I was in the UK, he did a gig. I'd been trying to wanted to see him live. Saw him live. Chatted to him a bit afterwards. Great guy. Great musician. Great music. Taking a bit of a break at the moment. Hasn't reappeared onto social media. Was going to have a break until the new year. Still hasn't reappeared. You know, just needed a break.
Fair enough.
And that obviously happens to the best of us. Not that he's listening, but I wish him all the best in kind of finding his way back to, you know, being, you know, I guess finding the balance. You know, I think we spoke, was that last week, about balance and,
yes,
you know, just, you know, all the things.
Feeling a bit burnt out.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I mean, yeah. But anyway, he's got a song and there's a bit of an Australian connection. It's called Letting Go for a Little While. And he wrote this song about leaving his kind of parents at the airport and coming out to Australia. So he came and lived here when he was younger. I didn't even know that. I actually didn't know that until I went to his gig in 2019 and he spoke about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spoke to him about it after the gig and I said, I didn't know that's what that song was about. And I almost wanted to say something, you know, like, you know, kind of, you know, sometimes it's not the kind of thing I would normally do, but, you know, some people would go, yeah, Australia, you know, like, and you go, hang on, that's an Australian voice, definitely,
yeah,
you know, but there'd been a girl annoying him all night down the front who was talking all the time and, you know, just really putting him off. And so I thought, I'm not going to say anything. And when I told him after the gig, I said, I didn't say anything because of that girl. And he goes, normally I would have loved that if you'd said something. But he said, yeah, tonight that girl was just doing my fucking head in. But this song is about saying goodbye to his parents kind of at the airport. And it's just like, but what he said at Charlie in the Curtain again, don't know if you can hear the stand kind of tapping as he balls his way around. But yeah, it's obviously a song about, yeah, like literally him kind of waving goodbye at the airport. And it's just like, look, I'm just going for a little bit. But what he said, I think at the gig, is that a lot of people have used it, you know, as funeral songs.
Yeah.
You know, people obviously who, I guess, you know, if they're using it in that context, they're probably, you know, religious and believe there's something after this and they're going to see their other half or parents or whatever down the road. But yeah, it's a beautiful little song, and it's that kind of, you know, I guess it's another kind of, I seem to have a bit of a trend going here where it's children to parents kind of, you know, tie in. But yeah, it's a beautiful, it is a really quite beautiful song, and it's one of those things that, again, when you have a bit more context, sometimes you see it even more deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually I liked a lot of his more up-tempo songs, and then after I saw him live and he kind of explained a bit more about some of the songs, I started to get back, get more into some of his slower stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people liked all the slower stuff. I was like into the more up-tempo stuff. And then, yeah, just found a bit more connection with the songs and, you know, just a bit more deeper meaning and things like that.
But, yeah.
You know, he's a young artist who, you know, writes some fantastic tunes and, yeah, that's a banger.
Check him out.
I don't know who he wrote that one with. I mean, he writes, you know, has a few different people he writes with. I should kind of look it up, but
he could write with us.
Oh yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, there's a guy. Oh, man, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But he writes a number of songs with another Irish guy who's older, and shit, they write some great songs together. You know, I don't know who writes what, but mm-hmm. you know, they keep on coming up with stuff where I just go, "This is brilliant, brilliant songwriting." The kind of stuff that I don't write, which is, you know, I think of it as being a little bit kind of Paul Kelly-ish in the sense that it's this kind of storytelling where there's not necessarily a strong rhyming structure. It's just, it sounds melodic because you just, you know, you're smashing the park out of it, smashing it out of the park just with pure kind of talent.
Mm.
And this is a guy that wasn't even going to be a songwriter.
Oh, wow.
I think he's done, what's he done, urban planning or something. He went to uni, did urban planning and thought, oh, I'll give music a little bit of a bash and sported Ed Sheeran and all sorts of stuff.
So. Makes you sick, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. But now he's,
my fallback position is, oh, maybe do a bit of songwriting. And
yeah. And it works for you. You know, sometimes that happens. It's just nice guy and, just a lovely little song. Cool. All righty. Number five for you.
All right. Well, okay. This one is a song called I Surrender by David Sylvian. And David Sylvian, of course, lead singer of a band called Japan.
I was going to say it's Japan, isn't it? I wanted to say it before you because.
Yeah. I've probably mentioned him a bit before. But no, this was taken from an album called Dead Bees on a Cake, I think. Strange album title. But, I Surrender is probably, you know, one of my all-time favourite songs. Comes in at under 10 minutes, so it's a long tune. But it's just, well, first of all, David Sylvian's voice is sort of romantic love personified, and it's just really sultry and really low and really, you know, full and resonant. It's got a beautiful timbre and all that sort of stuff. But the music that he writes and the words that he sings is just, you know, it's just so not corny. It's how love songs should be. And essentially it's just all about falling into, you know, the surrendering yourself to, you know, a love that just transcends the physical. And, you know, some people have looked at it as, you know, maybe it's a pseudo-religious thing. But, no, it's mainly, you know, you love something so much that you just completely and wholeheartedly surrender to it. It's basically him just singing this beautiful poem over this really lovely sort of soft jazz almost. And even the soft jazz, you know, normally you'd cringe and go, oh God, you know, but it's not. Just everything is just meticulously crafted, and the album itself is just produced just so sublimely. And so that's pretty much my number one number one tune. It was either that or another song called Wave, which is from an earlier album of his, Gone to Earth, and has some blistering guitar by Robert Fripp on it. But no, I think I Surrender is a much more complete sort of love song in the David Sylvian oeuvre, as they would say, you know, his range of work. And it also reminds me of a past also reminds me of a past girlfriend as well, I suppose. Slightly happier times. But, yeah, that's my last one.
It's funny, actually, because the guy that I was mentioning earlier who taught me guitar and, you know, his brother and the Iron Maiden thing, he was a big Japan fan.
Right.
He was into Duran Duran and Japan. And also, you know, into Kiss and Iron Maiden and yeah. Metallica and, you know, really eclectic kind of...
anything with costumes, basically.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yep.
Anything with a strong image.
But my last song... now, I have to give credit to Brendan Keane, who I played with in Ireland when I lived there. The old Betts Keane duo. Because
if he's listening out there, yo.
Hey, mate, and hopefully we might see you later this year if we get
absolutely.
To Ireland.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
He posted this song, and the funny thing with this song is it took me a few listens. Like, it wasn't like the first listen I went, yeah, that's a great song. But this one, for me, it was very much the lyrical,
yep.
the lyrics. So it's Jason Isbell and the 400 Units. And the song is If We Were Vampires.
Oh, right.
I can't remember if I've shared this one with you. So basically I'm just seeing if I can – okay, I can't do that. I'm just on my phone here and I was just seeing whether I could actually – oh, that's how you do it. There you go. Just as the lyrics. But basically it's basically a song – it's a love song saying that – you know, if we were vampires, we'd kind of live forever, and we wouldn't kind of appreciate the time we have. You know, we wouldn't long to finish work so we could get home. You know, and be together, and that's, you know, it's great to have this time together, this limited time we've got, and you know, the song also kind of says that. You know, at some point one of us is going to go and the other one's, you know, maybe we've got 40 years. Maybe we've got less kind of thing. But,
yeah.
you know, at some point one of us is going to have to go on alone kind of thing. And it's kind of like, fucking hell. Shush, Charlie. And, yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of go, man, you've absolutely nailed that, you know, as a thing kind of thing. Like, you know, there's a reason why we don't live forever. It's so we really appreciate the time we have. Charlie bit me.
Bit my finger.
He bit my finger completely off. that song, again, it was a song that the more I listened to it, the more I was just like, man.
I'm interested. I think I might have heard it, but I'd love to hear it again.
It's a great
read
song.
The lyrics as it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a great concept.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's, again, that's one of those songs where it's just kind of like, I wish I had thought of that and how beautifully they kind of painted the picture, basically.
Yeah.
So what were some of your, we should probably wrap this up, what were some of your honourable mentions?
Oh, quickly, okay.
If you do it in under a minute, including my time as well, we'll get in under an hour.
Absolutely.
But then the intro will get added and it'll be longer than an hour.
there's three. The Man with the Child in His Eyes by Kate Bush.
Okay.
It's just an absolutely gorgeous piece of music, and I can imagine myself sort of, you know, if the roles were reversed, you know, the woman with the child in her eyes type of thing. It's just the sentiment, the lyrical sentiment, but the music is just Kate Bush singing, just one voice, one piano, and it's just awesome. There's another song, When I'm With You by Sparks. I would have mentioned that before. It was a song that I was obsessed with probably about 12 months ago. I discovered Sparks. I saw the Sparks documentary, which is fucking superb. You should go and see that. You know, when it's got lines like, you know, when I'm with you, I feel more in control when I'm with you. You know, oh God, I'm a mental blank now. And the third one, bit of a tongue-in-cheek sort of cheesy thing, The Lady in Red by Christa Berg. Lady. I just like the guitaring in it. I'm a real sucker for that sort of shit. Anyway.
A bit of
song that I love to hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now imagine having that on repeat from Wakery down Adelaide. You'd be a blithering mess. Okay, what's yours?
I had it just in my initial notes, which was "I'm in Love" by Francis Dunnery.
Oh, yeah,
I sing that
great
song.
Oh, great song.
I love that. I love that. I love playing that song, and I really like it.
That is a great song.
I thought I had to put one in here by Kiss, which was "Forever," because being a massive Kiss fan, and there's massive Kiss posters on the wall here.
Yeah.
You know, that's a banger. "Fields of Gold" by Sting.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Great song.
He wrote that about his wife. It's a great song. I think we spoke about that once before, where Parkinson got him thinking about it, and then he had struggled to get through the song because of thinking of that. And just to plug a song that a song of, I guess this is a song of mine. I guess it is. I was just thinking, because I sometimes say ours because we both wrote it, "Lost for Words," which I wrote about my wife. You know, it's one of those songs where you kind of go, oh, really, I like the way that kind of came out. You know, like some things you're just going to go, I wasn't expecting that. I don't generally write songs about, I mean, that being said, I've written that song about my wife and "Little Darling" about my daughter. And I don't generally write songs about people who are really close to me.
Yeah.
I find that I kind of separate better if I kind of write things about things that are just a little bit removed. So I kind of, you know, again, proud of those songs because they kind of came out and they're nice. They're not corny.
Yeah, and they break the mold a little bit too. You know, you tend to write a certain way, and then this, you know, the songs like that come along. It's like, where did that come from? I don't normally do that, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
You know, so that's cool.
But yes, that's the, that's some of our favourite songs. As I said, we'll post them on social media. Kind of over the next week, we'll share some of those.
Hopefully it's given you a little bit more of an insight of the twisted minds of us, you know, and how we feel about love and whatever. You know, yes, when this gets released, it will be post-Valentine's Day. But today, on the day of recording, it is Tuesday, February the 14th. Whatever you are doing, you know, do it with love.
Yes. And as I say, if Valentine's Day is important to you, then you might need to have a look at your relationship. Every day should be important.
No, that's true.
Appreciate every day. They're all important.
Yeah.
You know. Look, we hope you did have a nice Valentine's Day, if that's something you do kind of celebrate.
And,
hope all is well in your world. Thanks for listening to the Soul Trader podcast, as always. Go and check out the Buzzsprout page with
all the links.
Wanna Be the One.
Oh yeah,
this week's
that too, yeah.
This week's sponsor song.
Yep.
And check out on social media and let us know your favourite songs and listen to these tracks which we will share there.
Maybe we'll get a playlist happening on Spotify. Maybe
we could do that too. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
So give us your suggestions.
Charlie's getting
a bit restless.
He's getting fired up. He's like, come on.
Yes, he's getting a bit toey. All right.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll speak at you next week.
Awesome. Ciao for now.
See ya.
You have been listening to the Soul Trader podcast, music, creativity, and other plans with your hosts, Simon James Betts and Corey Stewart. Be sure to check out soultradermusic.com and CoreyStewartOnline.com. See you next week.